job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Cast of the Tony Award-winning musical, The Missouri Boys. It's Frankie Chesterfield Valley and the Four Seasons. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Thank you
that
very much.
Good.
Thank you. It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, Eon the Peon. Later on this hour, Joe Hipperson will be along to talk about movies. Have you seen this this Taco Bell breakfast commercial with the Ronald McDonald's?
Yes. Yeah. And I just saw it again today.
Pretty clever idea.
I like it. Frank said he didn't like it because it will make people think of McDonald's. But I liked it because I think of Ronald McDonald eating a Taco Bell breakfast. Mm-hmm. And they say Taco Bell throughout the commercial, so I liked it.
McDonald's responded. I don't know if you saw through a tweet. They had Ronald McDonald squatting down, petting a little chihuahua, and it said, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery."
It's getting Taco Bell a lot of publicity for their breakfasts. I asked one of the people here at KTRS, "Would you ever go to Taco Bell for breakfast?" And he said, "Well, if I go at the end of the day at 2 a.m. and have that food, is that technically going there for breakfast?
Yeah. Do they serve it all day?
I don't know.
I don't know.
See, I would try it, not at breakfast hours. But,
right. If you were out partying at night and
sure.
2, 3 o'clock in the morning, we're open late, our drive-thru open is open, then, yeah, maybe.
The waffle taco?
Yeah. The one thing about that commercial that I do not understand, though, is they have all these guys named Ronald McDonald. And one of the guys says, "Hi, I'm Ronald McDonald Jr., and this is my son, Ronald McDonald III. Now, I can understand Ronald McDonald Sr. having that name. Mm-hmm. He would have been old enough that perhaps he was named Ronald McDonald before the McDonald's franchises started. When did they start? 60 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 50s or 60s. So he could have been alive and named by his parents Ronald McDonald before that, okay? Then he and his wife had a son, and they decided, we're going to name him.
We're going to keep this thing going.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to name him after me. We're going to name him Ronald McDonald. But by then, McDonald's already had that clown, didn't it?
So
you're doing is asking for your child to essentially
Willard
get...
Willard Scott, right?
Yes. You're essentially asking for your child to get name abuse their entire life. And then that son says, "You know what? That was so horrible for me that I'm going to do it to another generation of our family and make my son Ronald McDonald the III." That seems to be cruelty to children to me.
I wonder if they just call him Ronnie or Ron, but people still will pick up on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
first day of school, mm-hmm. teacher picks up that book and is running through the attendance rolls. McDonald, comma Ronald. Really? Ronald McDonald is your name?
What's your middle name? Burger.
Clown. Speaking of McDonald's, Colin told me that the McDonald's in Crimea have all closed.
What?
Now that Russia has taken over
now
there.
Now it's too far.
Oh, the drive through. Well, they were getting tanks driving through.
You see, that's what it was. Putin heard they have drive-thrus in Crimea. Let's drive through.
Yeah.
But
let's feed the troops.
They went with tanks, and they destroyed all of them. That's very funny, Dan. So now the McDonald's Crimea has said to its employees, "We will relocate, or if you relocate to the Ukraine, we'll get you a job at one of our restaurants there." And
it's your own choice.
Yeah. What else is on my desktop here? Did you hear about the alcoholic court reporter?
No.
This is in New York City. A guy named Daniel Kochansky, who you know what the court reporter is? It's the person who sits there at that keyboard and writes down everything that everybody says, the lawyers, the judges, the witnesses.
I can't just understand how that works.
I have seen somebody doing that because I was involved in a legal thing several years ago, and there was a court reporter there for the depositions, and I walked over during a break. I said, well, can you show me your keyboard here? She said, yeah, take a look. I said, no, can you show me how it works? And she typed something, and I went, I have no idea what you just did.
Yeah, even after you watch it, you can't.
It's not even close.
And I mean, it's not. What are on the keys? Is it letters or words or?
I don't remember there being anything on the keys. It was like
so the keys are just blank.
You know what? I'm sure that in our vast listening audience of the world's most intelligent audience, somebody can call and tell us how long it takes you to learn to be a court reporter and do that stenography, because it's not just used in courts. It's used, like I said, in legal depositions. It's used, the medical profession has it.
Here it is. They're all blank.
And what kills me is they just sit there and stare. And they're touching like...
They hit like eight like keys at once.
Yeah, a bunch of keys or something.
In many cases, they're wearing headphones like we are, so that they can hear everything. And they're supposed to give an accurate transcript of everything that goes on in the courtroom or wherever it is that the deposition is taking place. And that's not what Daniel Kochansky did. Daniel Kochansky apparently had been doing this job exactly long enough, because they went back and he looked at some of the transcripts of his cases from as far back as 4 years ago, and they found, I hate my job, 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 over and over and over, to the point where he wasn't actually writing down the testimony. People would be on the witness stand, and he'd just be going, I hate my job, I hate my, whatever that key combination is. You would think that somebody in the courtroom would notice, but how would we know?
Well, don't they at some point ask the court reporter, can you read back this?
I guess.
I hate my job.
She said, I went to the store, and...
That's what he would have to ad lib, what it was, and then the lawyer would go, that's not what she said.
Didn't say that at all.
Didn't say anything like that.
Didn't Jack Nicholson do that in The Shining when he was said he was working on his book?
And oh, yeah.
He was repeatedly typing, all work and no play makes Jack dull boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd be curious to talk to an actual court reporter and see what that job is like. If one of them calls Dan, let me know. But because he did this guy Kochansky, because he did it, they might have to go back and retry 30 cases, including some that were murder cases. They say that they brought this guy Kochansky back in after he was fired for misconduct. They brought him back in and forced him to try to make sense of his shorthand typing. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't put it back together. So they have had judges holding reconstruction hearings at which everybody involved in the case has to testify what they remember was said in the court that day.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, you got to get a court reporter in for that.
Yeah. Who hopefully likes their job.
The guy, this Kochansky's father, said his son had become an alcoholic about 5 years ago, and it had cost him his marriage and eventually his job. The father says the pressure of the job pushed him over the edge, causing him to lose everything. Kochansky said this Wednesday that he denied screwing up the transcripts on purpose. He says, I never typed gibberish. I always did my job 100%. All evidence to the contrary. We actually have what you wrote. It's right here. He says, I'm in recovery. July will be 1 year that I'm clean, but it's clear that I was let go because of substance abuse, which is using the drunk thing as an excuse, which, you know, on this show, I will not permit. You chose to put that booze in your body and then go and screw up your job. Be man enough to admit that. Oh, that wasn't me. That was the substance abuse that caused that transcript to look like that. No, it was you. Bill, you're on the Big 550 KTRS. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
I came in a little late on your conversation last hour about possible talk show hosts.
For replacing David Letterman.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know he works for NBC, but did anybody mention Howie Mandel?
Well, I think Howie Mandel's in his 50s now. And like I said before, I don't think anybody is going to consider somebody of that
age. Maturity-wise, he's probably still in his 20s.
Yeah.
Charity, yeah.
He also has that show. I don't think he works for NBC anymore. He's got a show on TBS now, a wacky prank hidden camera show. I don't know the name of it.
He has a production company, I know, that does that prank show.
Yeah.
He may not be tied to any network anymore.
Well, I think he's tied to TBS with this.
Oh, okay. That's what it
is. Did he used to guest host for... The Late Show on NBC before?
I don't think so. You know, it's funny. We were talking about Letterman last hour, and I forgot to mention, up until David Letterman started doing his show on NBC after Carson,
yeah,
the concept of the guest host was prevalent. But since David Letterman took over, the only time there have ever been guest hosts for him is when he went off and had his heart surgery or had right. other medical conditions. It right. wasn't like, well, Dave's off tonight, so filling in will be Louis C.K. or whoever it was. Leno never had guest hosts. Conan never had guest hosts. Craig Ferguson, well, he did have Drew Carey the other day. But the idea of the guest host, which, by the way, was a good way to get a farm system. That's how David Letterman ended up getting his show, was filling in for Carson. That's how Leno got it.
Absolutely.
Of course, there was a time when people like McLean Stevenson were guest hosting the show as well. But I don't think that they would want to go for a Howie Mandel only because he's a little bit too old to give a franchise to.
I think you're right. All right, thanks.
I'm glad you called, Bill.
Wasn't
thanks.
That an episode on Louie where he was brought in and offered Dave's job?
Yes.
Maybe this will come true.
But if you recall, on Louie, the show went to Chris Rock. whose name I also heard thrown around today, who I believe is also in his 50s. And while he would be a different kind of late-night talk show host in that he's not a white guy, I'm not sure that Chris Rock would want to do that.
How about Gary Shandling and Rip Torn?
Bring it back to Larry
Hey now. Terry, you're on the Big 550. Hello. Terry, hello.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Hi.
My name's Perry with a P as in Paul.
Oh, Perry, hi.
I was actually holding, I was telling Dan my wife is a court reporter.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get a hold of her to call me back or to call you guys, and she can tell you all about it. She's been doing it for 28 years.
Has it driven her crazy like this guy in New York?
Oh, no, but she does hear some interesting stuff, especially when you get into the family and domestic court. That's pretty intense.
Well, if she gets back to you in the next 5 or 10 minutes, have her give me a call. I'd like to hear about the job.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right, Terry. Thanks a lot. Scott, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Well, as car reporter, it sounds like maybe, you know, once he gets out of rehab or whatever, I hear there's an opening for a signer for the deaf in South Africa. He swore he was doing his job. He was doing it exactly. He wasn't making this stuff up. He was signing for the deaf.
That's right.
But it was the drugs.
That was one of the best pieces of video all year long. Absolutely.
Good.
That's funny,
right,
Scott.
And I'll think, have you been paying attention?
Okay. No. I'll tell you what, call me back in 50 minutes and you'll get a shot.
All right,
thanks. As long as you haven't been on in the last 30 days. Kevin, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to be the host that follows David Letterman. They want to be the host that follows the host, because whoever they put in there, they're going to throw them under the bus.
I agree. I think that's definitely true. You do not want to follow a legend. The only reason it worked for Jay Leno following Johnny Carson, and as I pointed out last hour, it didn't work for the first couple of years. He had a really rough go there for the first couple of years. But the only reason he was actually even accepted in the first place is because he had been part of the Carson Tonight Show as the guest host and regular fill-in. It wasn't like some guy completely off the street. And I remember how hard it was for Conan O'Brien once he took over what used to be Letterman's late-night show on NBC.
Oh, they were almost canceled a couple times.
He had a 13-week contract and had to have it renewed for another 13 weeks and on for the first couple of years. So I think you're right. Whoever takes that job is going to have to be very careful about who it is. And if they stumble and fall, then that's where you want to be the vulture that comes in and says, aha!
Just give it to Carson Daly.
Oh,
let
no.
him be the fall guy.
You know what? I didn't even think about him. You know why? Because I never think about him, just like everyone else in America. Carson Daly's mother. You have a show, son? Is that still on the air? Steve, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Yeah, hey. Thanks for taking my call. I was just going to ask you, what do you think about Wayne Brady? He's entertaining, multi-talented.
Yeah,
I mean,
he had a mid-afternoon show for a while, didn't he?
Didn't
that
he
failed.
He did have a daytime talk show that did not go anywhere, and I think Wayne Brady would fall into the same category as some of the other people who have been mentioned, including Neil Patrick Harris, which is terrific performer, does not necessarily translate to talk show host or even comedy talk show host, because Wayne Brady is paid all the time to be Wayne Brady and be interested in what Wayne Brady is doing and improvising as Wayne Brady. That's a little different than having to sit down and talk to, you know, Johnny Depp about his new project or whoever it is who's coming in and sitting down. I've never seen him show those kind of skills. Have you, Steve?
Well, he's got that one game show.
Let's make a deal. Yeah.
I think he's pretty good at that. But I've never seen him interview anybody on that, you know, interview.
Yeah, that hosting a game show thing, going to a talk show host. Ask Pat Sajak how that works out.
Okay, good point.
All right, Steve, I'm glad you called. I had not considered Wayne Brady, though, and that's a good suggestion. Jake, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hello. Good evening, fellas.
Hi.
Hey, I was just calling about the stenographers.
Oh, yeah.
I knew a gal that went to school for it, and rather than just having to be a court reporter, she went into television and did closed captioning.
It's the same machine, pretty much?
Same machine, from what I understood from her. She would do all the closed captioning, even for live television, so they would have to sit there and keep up with the live television.
I got to tell you, I actually think that is one of the most impressive skills I've ever seen witness in real time. Because if you're a court reporter, you can go back and look at the transcript later on and fix any mistakes that you made, especially spelling errors or other, you know, factual errors. Or if you left out the or an or whatever it is, you can add that in when you then go and type up the official transcript. You know, you deliver it to whoever it was a week or two later. That's fine. But to do it in real time, the way they do in closed captioning on TV, you know, you watch an NFL game and you got, you know, replays that they got to do, both announcers, they got to put the names of the people in there and all that sort of stuff and get it all done while they're talking very quickly. That's very impressive to me.
Very.
Most people do not make enough money wherever they are.
I just wanted to contribute a little bit.
I'm glad you did, Jake.
I love the show.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Jim, you're on the Big 550. Hi.
I'm AM into PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I think Steve Harvey can interview anybody.
Ooh.
and keep a straight face, and doesn't matter if it's black or white.
Yep.
Or anybody. I think he's great.
I think Steve Harvey is a good suggestion, except for one thing. How old is Steve Harvey? I really do think that there's going to have to be an age limit involved for some of these guys. I would bet you that Steve Harvey is 50, minimum.
Mid-50,
I would
probably
think.
Yeah.
Well, that might be.
Now, hold on a second. I'll ask Siri. Hold on. How old is Steve Harvey? And Siri will tell us.
All right.
Let's see. Come on, Siri.
Come on.
Steve Harvey is 57.
He's 57.
Wow.
Sorry, can't have the job.
Well, he holds his age well, like they do. So.
And by the way, I think Steve Harvey is very talented. And that movie of the original Kings of Comedy with him and Cedric and Bernie Mac and D.L. Hughley is still one of the funniest movies ever made.
Well, I mean, I just like watching him during the day. I mean,
yeah.
When he gets real serious, it's one thing, but he's having fun. He's having fun.
Yeah, I don't watch either his daytime talk show or Family Feud. The iteration with him as the host, but every once in a while there'll be a funny Family Feud clip posted on YouTube, and I have a friend named Roger who emails me whenever he finds one of those, and every one he sends me, they're really funny because of the ridiculous answer that somebody's giving. And Steve Harvey,
he goes through the floor with it.
Oh, he is absolutely terrific at that. That's a great suggestion, Jim. I'm glad you called. I got a break. We're back in a moment here. Hopefully Joe Hipperson will be able to join us, and we'll talk about some movies, including the new Captain America that's opening today here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Somebody just called and said that they know where Frank's been going on assignment every Friday.
Oh, yeah?
He's been going to groom for Letterman's job.
Really?
So Frank's going to take over.
Unfortunately, age would really be a function. You think Steve Harvey's too old? Frank's like 70.
Oh, I know. Yeah. 78, I think.
78. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think I missed sending my card.
All right. Let's check traffic now. And here's the other new host of Late Night with Tim Weiland. There you go.
Hey, this traffic report brought to you by Ace, the helpful place. Ace, where coming in for help is like going to your neighbor. A neighbor with all the best brands and know-how. Ace, The Helpful Place. Well, we've got problems if you're heading on westbound 40. You've got slow traffic from just a little bit west of Clarkson all the way out to the Boone Bridge. It actually opens up right around Highway 94. But eastbound 40, you are being diverted to the exit of Highway K-94 there because they have the Boone Bridge shut down. Now, southbound 270 looks pretty heavy now between Page and Ladue. A little bit slow again between Manchester and Gordy Ferry. Downtown, the northbound lanes of 55, that right lane is backed up onto the ramp of Highway 44. Eastbound 44, you are slowing from Jefferson to 55. And then you're heavy again eastbound 40 from, looks like right around Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 270, that is slowing now. A little bit east of McDonald through New Florissant. This traffic report also brought to you by Denny's. Eat great for just $4. You can with Denny's 2-4-6-8 value menu, like the $4 Everyday Value Slam. Look for Denny's coupons in this week's mail and visit one of their 30 St. Louis area Denny's. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Live and local, this is your official severe weather station, the Big 550
KTRS.
Depend on it. There's nothing like a great meal at an area restaurant supplied by locally owned Kuna Food Service. Restaurants like this one. Looking for a Sunday family-style chicken dinner? You'll find it at Gallagher's in Waterloo, where everything is homemade. Every Sunday from 11:30 a.m. till 7 p.m., enjoy family recipe fried chicken, mashed potatoes, cream gravy, corn custard, slow-cooked green beans with ham, and Susie Gallagher's dessert for not a lot of money. Hungry yet? Take the family to Gallagher's at 114 West Mill Street in Waterloo for a homemade Sunday family-style chicken dinner that will have you coming back for more. Gallagher's. For three generations, family-owned Kuna Food Service has supplied top area restaurants with fresh-cut steaks, fresh chicken, dairy, dry goods, and a wide range of fresh produce. The operative word is fresh. Kuna's local management style offers their customers benefits that simply cannot be matched by large conglomerate groups. Top area restaurants know Kuna Food Service is the place to go at KunaFoodService.com.
Hi, it's John Carney, and if you need someone to do your homework for you, you should call Allen Roofing and Siding. Getting Allen Roofing and Siding to take care of your roof, siding, and gutters is kind of like getting Albert Einstein to do your math homework for you. Since 1972, their highly satisfied customers have given Allen Roofing and Siding an A+, because they team up the best product lines with quality workmanship. To get straight A's in school, you don't just show up, you do your best. That's the way Allen Roofing and Siding approaches every homework assignment in Metro St. Louis. Hey, don't just take our word for it. Contractor Magazine, sort of the report card of the industry, rates Allen Roofing and Siding as the number 12 in the top 100 in the U.S. So if your roof ain't what it used to be, if your gutters are now sagging leaf catchers, or if your exterior walls could use some updating, don't be a dunce. Put down your number 2 pencil and go to Allen Roofing and Siding, the best in the class. Allen Roofing and Siding in Ellisville, Missouri and Caseyville, Illinois. They will do a superb job on your homework. Online at aroofing.net.
Hi. I'm Barry Brown, president of Guardian Wealth Protection. You've heard the stories. Maybe your neighbor had to quit her job to take care of an elderly mother, or maybe your best friend worried about how to pay the bills for her dad's care. You may have been a caregiver yourself, so you know the financial, physical, and emotional toll that it can have on a family. It doesn't have to be that way. Did you know the annual cost of a very well-known nursing home in West St. Louis County is now over $80,000 per year for a semi-private room and over $113,000 for a private room? Did you know to qualify for a long-term care policy with a top-rated carrier, you must be in good health? Did you know the average person purchasing long-term care is in their 50s? Putting a long-term care policy in place can be the first step you take to help safeguard your future, and your story can have a happy ending. I'm Barry Brown, and I can help. Together, we can build your long-term care solution. Call me today to get started at 636-405-2900. That's 636-405-2900, or find us online at wealthpro1.com. That's wealthpro, the numeral one, .com.
Here's a quick quiz from SelectQuote that can literally change your life. First, how much did your family earn last year? How much were your expenses? Now, if something tragic happened to you or your spouse, do you have enough put aside to cover those expenses for several years? If not, you need life insurance. Now, I know money is tight, but you probably don't know that term life insurance through SelectQuote can be incredibly affordable. I'm Heather McFadden, a SelectQuote agent. Every day, I impartially shop highly rated life insurance companies and find healthy people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s hundreds of thousands of dollars in protection for only a dollar or two a day. That's right, only a dollar or two a day. See for yourself. All it takes is a quick no-obligation call to SelectQuote.
Call 1-800-600-7371. 1-800-600-7371. 1-800-600-7371. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop. You save.
Stages St. Louis's award-winning smash hit production, Always Patsy Cline, returns April 22nd at the Playhouse in Westport Plaza. Best Actors Award recipients Jacqueline Petrosha and Zoe Vandahar return to star in the celebration of country music legend Patsy Cline. Always Patsy Cline features 27 of her most unforgettable hits: Crazy, Sweet Dreams, Walking After Midnight, and more. Tickets are on sale now at stagesstlewis.org.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and just $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 250 full-color business cards for only $10. Plus, for a limited time, get free shipping. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 7777 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 7777.
How about a brand new bathroom with a free faucet and sink? Hi, everybody. McGraw-Milhaven here for Right Bath. That half bath, that full bath, or anything in between, Right Bath will give you a brand new bathroom in 5 days. No cover-ups. Right Bath team will remove your existing problems all the way down to the studs and build it back up in 5 days. Mention the Big 550 and get a free faucet and sink. Right Bath or rightbath.com. 314-909-1820. Right Bath or rightbath.com.
For over 40 years, Metro Lighting has made a commitment of service to their customers and is proud to be locally owned and operated. Metro Lighting offers a 1-year in-home product warranty on all lighting fixtures, lamps, and ceiling fans. So if something stops working, they'll repair it or replace it. Plus, Metro Lighting guarantees their prices against any competitor, including big box stores and the internet. Get the best selection on the highest quality lighting at the best price guaranteed at Metro Lighting. Visit MetroLightingCenters.com for the location nearest you.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, Dan Strass, Ian the Peon here. And this portion of the show brought to you by Auric 7, locally owned and operated Auric home centers throughout the St. Louis area. You can also find their wares.
Ah,
that's retail. Yeah. Retail right there. OREC.com. That's OREC.com. Every week they sponsor this gentleman right here to talk about movies and what's in the clubs, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing all right, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I know one of the movies we're going to talk about today is this new Captain America movie.
Yes, The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I was listening to the John Carney show earlier today, and he was talking about how Chris Evans, the guy who plays Captain America, had said that he has got this, I guess, contract for like 9 movies with Marvel, and he said something like, after I do that, I'm really going to have to consider retiring from acting because I'm just getting really, really worn out. The guy's 32 years old, Joe.
Okay, he's 32. They announced yesterday that Marvel already has their movies planned, all the comic book movies planned, all the way to the year 2028. It's insane.
Why is he signed up for 9 movies? Are they planning 9 Captain America movies?
No, it's going to be, they're going to do, I know for a fact, there's 2 more Avengers sequels, so that'll be a total of 4 Avengers movies. They're trying to make Captain America into a trilogy, and don't forget, Captain America, in the contract for Chris Evans, he needs to, periodically pop up in the other movies. So they're going to do a Hulk movie, they're going to do another Iron Man movie, they're going to do a Black Widow movie, they're going to do a movie based on every Avengers character where they're going to overlay characters back and forth. It's just going to be, if they're going to try and do what comic books always do, which is have intertwining stories.
You know, I made fun of him because he was going to say, I'm going to do these 9 movies and then I'm going to retire. I bet you that he's getting paid enough money that at 32 years old, by the time he's 40, he could retire.
Oh, yeah. He could retire. Dude, he could retire right now and probably live off just the money he made from the Avengers alone.
Wow. All right, so how is the new movie?
Well, it's a difficult thing to try and review because it's like a double sequel, Paul. I mean, you've already got the Avengers, where a lot of people were introduced to Captain America. I know there was a Captain America movie before the Avengers, but I have a feeling that probably about 30-40% of the people that saw the Avengers had never seen the first Captain America movie. So it's kind of a double sequel because it follows up after the events in New York City from the Avengers film, where we now see Captain America in Washington, D.C. He's trying his best to help everybody out in S.H.I.E.L.D. He's basically doing his best to be a solo Avenger. And I got to tell you, I love when they do these standalone movies because we've seen the Avengers. And when something hits the fan, all the Avengers get together. They never really reference, hey, Captain America, I know you're in a lot of trouble right now. There's guns flying all over the place. I wonder why Iron Man isn't showing up right now to save you like he did in the last movie. It just blows my mind. But they don't really address it, and they do their best to kind of make it go away. Basically, in this film, the reason it's difficult to review is because you really need to have at least have seen the Avengers to have any concept of the character Captain America, why he is the way he is. And outside of going into it knowing, oh, this guy's a Boy Scout, and this guy, you know, he's the American way, you got to see a little bit of the source material before seeing this movie, or you will be lost. If you've seen the first Captain America movie and you saw the Avengers, you could go into this thing and absolutely love it, and you will walk out thinking it was probably one of the best comic book movies you've ever seen in your life.
Wow.
I'm dead serious, man. There is action in this film that is so practical in its delivery. I absolutely loved it. There's no overabundance of CGI. In fact, one of the things I love the most about this movie is if you take away the special effects, take away the fact that it's a comic book character, the inclusion of Mr. Robert Redford in this film makes it almost as if it's like a spy thriller. I'm dead serious.
Is this the one where Robert Redford is on a boat and he's lost in the middle of the ocean and nobody can save him and Captain America swoops down and grabs him out of the sea?
No, Paul, it's not.
That would be All Is Lost, Captain America, yeah. Save me.
Right. No, it would be Captain America, All Is Lost.
So, right. Yeah, yeah. You would get top billing over Redford. You're right.
All right, time for a big spoiler alert. Samuel L. Jackson, yes, reprises his role again as Nick Fury. And in this movie, Nick Fury is gunned down. I'm not going to tell you whether he lives or dies, but I will tell you that he's got the same contract Chris Evans does. So that should help you out. Now, with Nick Fury being temporarily eliminated, somebody needs to step up and run the agents. Someone needs to be in charge. Enter Robert Redford. And I'm telling you, it's almost like it took the movie Spy Game, which, for my money, is still a great diamond in the rough. I love the movie Spy Game. It's almost like he's taking that character and walking off the set of Spy Game and walking onto the set of Captain America. The way he delivers his lines, I mean, the way the guy, Robert Redford can wear a suit like nobody else. I don't care if it just got pressed. He wears a suit that looks like he slept in it, but it doesn't matter because the guy can wear it better than anybody in the world. So, Robert Redford has a very interesting character arc in this movie. That's all I'm going to go in that direction with. I will say that the scenes between Captain America and Robert Redford's character were my favorite in the entire film, mostly because they were talking. And there's just, I loved that they took this movie seriously from an adult, mature point of view and also delivered for the kids that want to see some really cool action. I still love that Captain America is a character in the comic book world where guns are not a bad thing. I'm not saying that I'm, hey, pro-gun, everybody shoot him in the air. But I love that Captain America, like Indiana Jones, is a hero who doesn't mind using the same weapons that the bad guys are using on him to try and save the world. I love that. And I love how it's a very realistic approach. There are over-the-top stunts, but they all seamlessly blend into a story that you believe from the very beginning. And because the reality that they've seeped in with the characters and how mature they're taking it exists throughout the entire film, there's nothing so absurd where you scratch your head thinking, oh, God, what did Michael Bay get bored doing Transformers 10 and took over as director? It never happens that way. And it works very well. As a standalone movie, this is a 7 out of 10. As a double sequel, or as the latest entry in this Marvel Universe, this is an 8.5 out of 10.
Wow. Wow. Is the Marvel Universe more successful than the DC Comics, which I guess would be the Batman and Superman franchises?
as of right now, the Marvel Universe is, I'm like 99% positive that the Marvel Universe is creaming the DC world. But it's crazy because for the longest time, it was cooler to like DC versus Marvel. Kind of like it was cool to like Star Wars, and you were a dork if you liked Star Trek. Marvel always kind of had more of a campy feel to it. Stan Lee, Marvel, you know, the really campy kind of comics usually would come from Marvel and not DC. But ever since Marvel decided to buck up and basically own their own studio and really shell out some pretty good comic book movies, I mean, they've kind of changed the playing field a bit. And I think DC tried way too hard to say that they were the brooding, serious comic book movie guys, which is why Man of Steel, to this day, I'm sorry, blows.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm excited about the Man of Steel sequel, Batman vs. Superman. I'm not excited that there are a billion people added to the cast every single day. All I need to do is just look at a picture from the movie Man of Steel to remind me why that movie just dragged. The color palette. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but the color palette in Man of Steel, it's not bright. It's not shiny. There's nothing super about it. And that's why I commend, I give props to Marvel, because one thing they've done true is the outfits. I mean, you look at a Marvel comic book movie, you look at the Avengers, sure, the outfits might be kind of dorky, but guess what? That's what they look like in the comic books. Fans love it and appreciate it. And DC and the DC films have tried too hard to deviate from the source material, and I think they're paying the price.
All right, so an 8.5 if you've seen the other Marvels. If not, standalone 7.0. It sounds to me like it might be a little confusing to people who haven't seen it before, but I don't think there's that many because this thing is going to do so well at the box office. I don't think any other movies are opening this weekend, Joe.
Nothing worth mentioning, and I can't wait for a week from today when you and I can finally divulge our true feelings about the movie that is being hyped. Like I never imagined that Draft Day would be getting the hype it's getting. I can't go anywhere without just getting assaulted by this Draft Day movie, which you and I saw, what, like 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to open the door to Draft Day next week. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, with no other movies opening this weekend, let me mention a movie I saw on DVD this week, which is actually 15 years old, and I know you're going to say, I can't believe you never saw it before, The Matrix.
What?
Oh, we just talked about this on, Tuesday?
You've never seen it?
I had never seen it until just this week.
Wow.
And it's one of those movies that I know was a cultural phenomenon.
It's a weird movie.
And the special effects of Keanu Reeves bending over and avoiding the bullets and a couple of the other characters doing the same in 1999 was state of the art. In 2014, boring.
You found it boring?
I was bored by The Matrix. I did not care about the story. I actually, you know, some people told me when the movie first came out, oh, it's a little bit confusing with the red pill and the blue pill, and where does he end up, and what's real and what's not real, and all that sort of stuff. I was able to follow along with the story just fine. I just didn't care. But I actually said, I'm going to watch this thing all the way through to the end and see where it goes. I thought Keanu Reeves was fine. He always gets dissed for his acting in things like that. He doesn't really have to do much. He just has to deal with the special effects that are all around him, and he did that fine. Lawrence Fishburne is always wonderful as an imposing presence. That was fine, too. It's just that the state of the art of movies has so far passed by The Matrix, which at the time, again, was groundbreaking, that I was bored, Joe. I give it a 4 out of 10.
All right, recently, my 14-year-old son, Avery, he's like, hey, we haven't watched The Matrix in forever, and Sean, he's never seen it. So my 8-year-old and 14-year-old and I sit down to watch The Matrix, and I'm not making this up. Within about 10 minutes, my 8-year-old was like, he just looked at me like, Dad, this is lame. I'm like, it's not lame. My older son's like, no, Sean, just give us some more time. It's really, really good. And then there's the first kind of action sequence, kind of where Neo is kind of ejected into the real world and whatnot. And my youngest looks at me and he's like, "This is really, really dumb."
Yeah.
I'm like, "It's not dumb." I go, "Where do you think he is?" He goes, "You know what? I don't care." He walked out of the room. I couldn't believe it.
It's exactly how I felt.
I didn't like it that much either.
No,
no.
Did you like
it?
Wow.
Yeah, for what it was. Yeah, sure.
It came out, though, Paul. It came out the year Star Wars Episode One came out, and it so blew away all those dorks, all the dorky sci-fi guys that thought that the Phantom Menace was going to take over the world. We didn't take the Matrix seriously. We had no idea what it was. It was like, oh, great. You know, Keanu Reeves has done a computer movie before. It was called Johnny Mnemonic, and it was horrific. It was terrible. I figured, okay, he's going to try and do the same thing again like Johnny Mnemonic. I went into the Matrix. When I walked out, my mind was blown. I couldn't believe it, probably because I walked in without any expectation whatsoever.
Has he done anything since The Matrix?
Yeah, he did. He did the comic book adaptation for Constantine, which really deviated from the source material, but it's still got a couple of cool moments in it. And most recently, he did 47 Ronin, which is it's just a long exercise in patience. It is one of the most unentertaining, boring martial art films ever.
Oh, he did that remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. Which nobody was willing to stand in line for. The Day the Earth Did Not Stand in Line is what it should have been called. So
you know, what's interesting about The Matrix is that Will Smith has said the biggest mistake he ever made in his entire acting career was turning down the role of Neo in The Matrix in order to do the remake or reboot of Wild Wild West.
Well, Wild Wild West absolutely sucked, so not doing that would have been a bonus for him. But it would have been a different movie. The Matrix would have been a very different movie because Will Smith is an outsized personality. But I think that Neo is not supposed to be an outsized personality. He's supposed to be a guy who things happen to and who the world is changing around. And I'm not sure that it could work with a type A personality like a Will Smith.
No, you're right. And plus, all Neo does is he plays the Luke Skywalker role, which is to ask a question about everything happening
yes.
so the audience can figure out what the heck is going on.
Yep, exactly right. All right, let's get to the clubs for the weekend.
All right, starting tonight, Todd Rundgren at the Pageant, Arm the Poor over at Plush, St. Paul and the Broken Bones at Off-Broadway, Mommy's Little Monsters at Lemons, the Cuban Missiles at the Heavy Anchor, Wackadoo at the Magnolia Cafe, B.B. King, Peabody Opera House, Saturday.
Really?
Oh, yeah, B.B. King, Peabody tonight.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
And by the way, also tonight, Bobcat Goldthwait is playing the Funny Bone in Valley Park. Right off 141, there's a show at 7:30,
yeah.
which I'm going to, and another one at 9:30.
You've got to let me know how that is, man.
I don't think he makes those noises anymore, Dan. But I will let you know next week how it was.
Awesome. All right, tomorrow, Chevelle at the Pageant, Tribal Seeds at Firebird, Guttermouth at FUBAR, Annie B. and the Complication at Cicero's, the Pat Sajak Assassins at the Schlafly Taproom, Kansas City Bear Fighters at Lemons, Aristocrat Laundromat at the Heavy Anchor, and last but not least. All right, I got an email from a guy named Larry. I'm not going to give out his last name, but Larry said that he is a huge fan of When I'm On with Paul Harvey because he does a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
Good.
And Larry would like to contribute a fake band name to the contest. So I've got five concerts, one absolutely fake, and it's being delivered to her by Larry. So are we ready?
Okay, go.
Elephant Revival, Friday at the Old Rock House. VD and the Infectors, Friday, Blueberry Hill. The Holy Hand Grenades, Friday, Way Out Club. Boom Baptist, Friday at Blank Space. Pet Rock the Musical, Friday at the Livery Company.
Ian.
Oh, VD and the Infectors.
Dan.
Yeah, I was going to do VD and the Infectors.
It's a clean sweep. VD and the Infectors.
See, this is what happens, Larry, when you insult Paul Harris and you call him Paul Harvey. Larry, sorry, good luck. Better luck next time. We have VD and the Infectors. That's what we say. But thank you to Larry and anybody else. Just contact me, joehipperson@gmail.com, if you want to try and stop everybody in the studio. That'll do it for me. I'll talk to you guys next week. Joe Hipperson, Big 550, KTRS. On entertainment.
Nice job, Joe. Brought to you by Oreck, 7 locally owned and operated Oreck home centers in the St. Louis area and online at ORECK. That's Oreck.com.
And let's get a quick check on traffic now. Here's Jim Weiland.
Boy, things running pretty slow on westbound 40. You're heavy at Grand through Vandeventer, and then also you're slow from Kings Highway through McCausland. Once you get out through Chesterfield Valley, it's stop and go from Boone's Crossing all the way through Highway 94. And don't forget, eastbound 40, the Boone Bridge is closed as they do some repairs, and they're diverting traffic off to Highway K94 exit there. Southbound 270, it's slow all the way from Highway 70 down through Well, it looks like Ladue, and then you're a little bit heavy off the pace between Manchester and Doherty Ferry. On eastbound 270, stacking up McDonald through New Florissant, and northbound 170, you are heavy from Highway 70 up through Airport Road. And this traffic report brought to you by Applebee's. Applebee's has a theory about lunch. After their new lunch combos featuring the artisan grilled chicken ciabatta sandwich go down, productivity goes up. See you tomorrow. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, everybody. Terry Hall here. If you're buying or selling a home and you like what you hear on This Week in Real Estate, then call me. With my help, when buying or selling a home, you'll get expert advice, direction, marketing, financing, correct pricing, the whole nine yards. I pride myself in helping people get where they're going with the least amount of complications or surprises. Buying or selling a home? Call me, Terry Hall, at 314-220-0524. That's 220-0524. And listen to This Week in Real Estate Sundays from 1 to 3 right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limpress and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or get their app for your smartphone, STL Taxi. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody.
Bill, I actually thought you would have to skip today because you'd be in mourning after the David Letterman announcement.
No, I'm okay, but I have to tell you something funny. A friend of mine's in town. She just went up in the arch for the first time.
Oh.
And she tweeted that she made it to the top of the arch by getting inside one of the washing machines to put her at the top. Is that not the greatest description of those stupid
yeah,
little things?
Very yeah. good, yeah.
Inside a washing machine.
Yep.
Well, a 54-year-old woman is trying out to be an NFL cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Now, they're calling her the Brett Favre of the Yell Squad. And researchers say that dolphins, not elephants, have the longest memories of all the animals in the animal kingdom. And they said they confirmed this theory when a dolphin was upset that an elephant it had met 20 years ago didn't even recognize him.
I hate when that happens.
One more, finally, this afternoon. Well, once again, no surprise here. A global study finds that American kids trail Asian kids in math and science. Although, on the plus side, American kids are ahead in them buying stuff made by Asian kids.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's a true story. Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company, and from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Bill.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye. Speaking of Letterman, the Twitterverse now is saying Stephen Colbert will probably get the job. It hasn't even been 24 hours yet. Nobody's even had the conversation, let alone signed anything. I do like what Keith Olbermann wrote, farewell to the Babe Ruth of modern television, which makes me wonder, who will the Hank Aaron be? Oh, God, are we going to get a host with steroids? It'll be the Barry Bonds. It's 5 o'clock. This is KTRS St. Louis. The Harris Challenge coming up.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson.